All right. So Marcia, since you're always my tech support, how will I know it is recording?
I see a little red dot up in the left corner.
Yeah.
Yes, do I.
Oh,
yeah,
me too.
Okay, I don't, but that's okay.
Well, you,
yeah, I can pause or stop, so that's good.
Yeah, that's what you should see, I think.
Fabulous. All right, very good. All right, so let's just do a quick check-in. Marcia, you go first. Anything you want? You can always pass as well.
Just was kind of starting to try to put a little more focus on what I want to do when I get my hot seat. So, and I think I've been thinking a lot about Simon Sinek this week when I'm facilitating meetings.
Say that one more time, Marcia.
I've been thinking a lot about Simon Sinek's why a lot lately.
Got it. Again, I will, if people say things and you're like, hey, who's that? I'll try to remember to keep a running list and then put in our dashboard anybody's website or blog that might get mentioned. All right, Robin?
Great. I have been thinking a lot about, I was really wrestling and I shared that on Facebook that I was trying to figure out, okay, so what's my question? And what do I want to bring to this table? And so I've also found out that I had the flu last week, like the real flu, and it's been a rough couple of weeks. And so I had to kind of give myself permission just to be sick and be okay with that. And then I was able to also be uncomfortable with this place of not knowing exactly what my question was and trust in the process that it would emerge as it came along. And I'm happy. I think I've come through the reflection process that I've done and some of the questions and just even the input from some group members on Facebook. I feel like, okay, I think I've got more clarity on what I'm hoping to ask. So it feels good to trust that. Yeah. I'm almost trusting it. But I'll
don't get carried away is what you're saying.
I don't want to get carried. Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right,
Ted.
I guess I'm sort of where everyone else is at, trying to figure out what the focus is, even though I am on the hot seat today. And I did put a little PowerPoint together, but it's more for my own thinking, I think, sometimes to get it on paper and try and focus some of the bigger stuff into what can I really accomplish. That being said, I've been super busy with all my projects. Like, I've had a whole bunch of stuff like due this week. So my ability to actually focus on any one thing has been a struggle, but that happens to all of us. So
is Gordy visiting you guys too right now?
He is not. He is not.
I saw a post the other day and I thought, I couldn't tell if I was old or not. I thought, I didn't think he was coming again, but yeah.
No, he just booked a trip. So he is coming in a couple of months. So he posted from Thanksgiving when we were out fishing. And yeah.
Okay. All right, Miss Christie.
I've been really trying to focus on mindfulness and sort of a reminder to myself that if I am trying to impress upon to my teachers the importance of mindfulness before they start their day, I really also should be practicing that. And having my office is on the LBCC campus and there's an alarm going off. So if you hear that, I apologize. But so it's sort of been this with everything that's been going on in my personal life, still trying to find that mindfulness and be able to still practice that myself so that I think I can better instruct my staff in doing that as well. Does that make sense?
Yes. That silly practice what you preach crap.
Right? And then you have like alarms in the background.
And I can't hear the alarms. So you're
okay, good.
I can't anyway. Okay, but if you need to go, I think you need to go.
No, they've been going through, we had like power outages and all sorts of things. So they're testing everything on the campus and as hard as they try to turn it off so we don't hear it here, that doesn't always happen. So.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully that process of reflection and just the quick around the horn kind of got everybody just back in touch with each other, and of course back in touch with kind of being centered from all that's been going on since we saw each other last. And so I'm going to stop sharing my screen because it's more important that you see each other than it is anything more on my screen right now. Plus, if any of you want to share your screens, you can do that as well. And so I think whoever's talking last might pop up big. Let's see if you can also do gallery view. Marcia, if I do gallery view, does it do it for everyone or?
I'm in speaker view right now and I see all five.
Okay.
So, and now I'm in gallery. Oh no, I was in gallery view. Speaker view gives you the big, yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to go to speaker view, folks, top right-hand corner, you should see all five of us, like Hollywood Squares, or the Brady Bunch, or the Match Game, I don't know. Okay? All right, very good. And I have a timer on my iPad, so if you see me doing something, it's probably me just keeping track of time. So I'm gonna set it for 20 minutes, and then I'll set it for another 20. So if anybody wants to know like where we are with the time and so forth. And so Ted, I had you down going first. Is that still okay?
I thought we were going to do rock, paper, scissors.
I'm good.
All right. So the way this will work again is that Ted will just start us off. And if he doesn't need me to clarify anything, I won't. Our job is to just listen really carefully so that we know what he would like from us. And he can change that at any point. The only time I'll really interject is if I feel like the group might need clarification on what he's asking, or if anybody starts doing something like trying to fix Ted, and Ted doesn't want to be fixed, let's say. Otherwise,
we only got 40 minutes here.
All right. I'll be taking notes. So I'll be watching the time, taking notes, and then when it'll just be your conversation, I'll just be there to guide it, okay?
Okay.
All right, good.
I'm going to try sharing my screen and see how it works. So let's see.
Perfect.
All right.
Oh, look at that cute icon. Sorry. I love it.
So let's just put it in the slideshow, and it is, like I said, some of this is more for me than anything, just so I could get my thoughts together. So so what is it that I need assistance with? And I think for me, it's really guidance on where to focus my efforts to make the most impact as a leader in early intervention. And sort of my current situation is I just left a role. I was vice president of the largest not-for-profit here in Hawaii that serves people with disabilities. So I had like 500 staff, $20 million budget. So one of those jobs. And since January, I've just really been working as a consultant. And part of what I thought I would end up doing is taking some time to figure out what my next step was, and to really have a bigger impact. That being said, I have this unique inability of saying no to things. So in a month, I've basically taken on 3 projects as a consultant, which are not small in any by any means. The first is that I'm actually trying to build a professional development system for a preschool system here in Hawaii that has no PD per se for their staff. So I'm taking that on. I'm working with an IT company that does system solutions for state, specifically early intervention systems. They like to do their fiscal systems and do their information systems. And what initially was supposed to be sort of long-term, let's try and figure out how we can create the system that everybody will want, has turned into a state put out an RFP that's due in a couple of weeks, like basically ask for this super early intervention information system. So what was supposed to take place over like a 6 month to a year sort of process is now taking place over like a 6 week process in trying to build this all-in-one system that can serve families, administrators, fiscal folks, providers. And so that's taken on a lot. I'm also still contracting with my former employer, specifically with their early intervention managers on a lot of the contractual stuff, because right around the time I left, all of their contracts came due. So I've been working with them to do their contracts and whatnot. And they are the largest early intervention provider in the state. So that's taken up a lot of time. The other thing that is a real focus for me and hope to be a real focus is my role with the Division for Early Childhood, or DEC. I'm currently on the executive board as vice president, and I'm in my first year of a four-year term. And part of the reason I took on this role and ran for the position is I was very active and involved on the mainland and state policy stuff, federal policy stuff. Really was very, very sort of tried to be more big picture. Then a couple of years ago, I moved into the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And I felt like I had really removed myself from a lot of that. And it was something I missed. So the DEC piece is a real important piece for me. In addition to that, and I only added one here, I'm on this early intervention, early childhood professional development community of practice, which is something that actually came out of a DEC meeting where a group of us who were PD providers for early intervention on the state level formed a community of practice. And out of it, we've developed things like universal curriculum, a video library that all states can use, and completely unfunded, completely sort of a volunteer kind of thing because we all had other jobs, but there's always like a pull to do more stuff with that group as well. And in addition to that, I sit on probably 15 other national kind of like committees and councils and all of that. So that being said, by leaving my full-time position that I left in January, I had really hoped I could focus more on these things that I thought of more as like my passion that I could make a real bigger difference with, especially DEC being one of them, and my role on DEC. So what I want to avoid, I'm going to probably make an obscure thing that half the people won't get, but if anybody ever saw the movie Say Anything, there's a great quote from Lloyd Dobler in it, played by John Cusack, who says, "I don't want to sell anything, buy anything, process anything as a career. I don't want to sell anything bought or process or buy anything sold or processed or process it, anything sold, bought or processed or repair anything sold, bought or processed. You know, as a career, I don't want to do that." And that really, in so many ways, is sort of me. I've always struggled with the monetizing of like what we do. Like for instance, the whole universal curriculum thing that we did with the professional development group, you know, we sort of put it together and a group of folks did it and put it out there for free. You know, I mean, it's not like we did it so that we could sell it or make money off of it. So that's always been something I've sort of struggled with. I have a hard time like trying to do things and then make it into a quote unquote career or a business, which is why I think on the previous slide, I said a lot of the things I really want to do and really want to focus my time on aren't as much of the things I get paid for. They're more of the things I'm volunteering my time for that I think could have a bigger impact. So the things I think to consider, just again, sort of going through some of the questions is, you know, as I'm talking through this, I'll take any form of feedback, verbal, if you want to write me a note later, I'm all for that. I shared last time my shark music is silence. I am not always the best soldier. And what I mean by that is I sort of follow the beat of my own drum. I don't sort of fall in line if somebody says this is the way it's always been done and this is the way it has to be done. And that if I feel that that's not right, I don't always, you know, pay attention to those rules. You know, if anyone knows my email is beyond the box, that's sort of how I think. I think beyond the box. I try not to be constrained by the box, or we didn't call it outside of the box because then we were still saying there was a box that we had to acknowledge. So we're beyond it. And by the not being a best soldier, I think one of the things I struggle with sometimes, and one of the things I'm struggling with in my current roles, is though I am somebody that sort of marches to my own drum, I feel the need and I flourish when I'm around sort of like-minded people who have like similar focus on things that they want to achieve. And from that process of like bringing together those like-minded groups, even though we may differ on the how, I feel I really benefit. That being said, the majority of what I'm doing now is me sort of doing for other people and basically what their focus is. So with the preschool, you know, they definitely have a focus, and it's a preschool. It's, I mean, my focus in my career has always been early intervention, very specific, birth to three, special needs. Whereas a preschool is much broader than that. The same with the project with the information systems, more focused on early intervention and benefiting early intervention, but really more a lot of the back end piece that, you know, I can do, I can help, I can support, but a lot of the vision is their vision and not as much my vision. So I struggle a little bit with that. As I said, I'm physically located in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I guess I'm looking for the next steps of where I go, what is it that I want to keep? What is it that I want to get rid of? Or is there a whole new road out there that I should take on and pave my way down that road? So I think maybe what I'm asking is pretty broad and I probably need to focus it a little more, but I think that's sort of where my struggles are, and as I'm looking on the other sort of questions to consider, and sort of what are the timelines or external pressures, and I think for me, and I struggled with this one, because I don't really have any quote-unquote timelines. I think my role on the DEC board is a limited one. It's 4 years, and I mean, a year has almost gone by, and what impact I've had, I don't know. And Christy, I know you were on the board, so you can speak to it. And I've been on the board before, but not in an executive role. So I'm trying this go around to have more of an impact on our field. So I think from a timeline, I think I have those pressures. I think some of my other pressures are probably living up to my wife. My wife is a very accomplished person and has done a lot of things in this world. And it's never been pressure put on by her. It's always been internal pressure that I feel sometimes this is like, oh God, well, she's done this, or she's been able to accomplish this, or God, she's balanced these many things. Why can't I do the same thing? So as much as I like to think I'm better at that now than I was a decade ago, I still know internally I have this pressure of like, oh God, I live and like share my life with this unbelievably accomplished person. And it's just sometimes like a wow struggle to say, do I even need to shoot for where she's shot? You know? So I guess I'm all over the board at this point, but going back, I guess, to my original question is, what is it that I need assistance with? And I think it's guidance on where to focus my efforts.
So Ted, I think you've done a fabulous job setting up your colleagues to help you. I'll ask two questions quickly for clarification. You don't necessarily have to answer them if you don't know. One, do you want them to talk about existing projects go forward in your slides again? You talked about like what to get rid of. Can you provide any clarity to your group of time today? Would you rather talk about, are there existing projects that I should shape differently to make room? Or are those sort of like set in stone? I've signed a contract, so I just really need better steps going forward.
I've signed contracts to do these projects. Yes. So like on the consultant project, on the first two that are up there, in fact, on all three of them, you know, I have contracts. I'll be honest, the obligation with my former employer, I think that is a very short-term thing. And once their contracts are in place, I think that's gone. That one isn't as much of a struggle for me.
So is it more future planning than it is current?
It is definitely future planning. It's not current planning.
Fabulous. I didn't want them to get stuck in problem solving your current balance.
Well, and what's interesting is I'm really good at like putting a logic model together and doing planning for like individual projects, like the ones I have listed here, as to like, okay, this is where we're going to go. These are the timelines. These are the resources. These are the benchmarks. This is how we'll evaluate whether or not we've achieved what we said. I can do all that for projects and for things, except I struggle with doing that for myself.
Okay.
So I'll be honest, I think as we're just been talking, I think what I probably want to focus on is more how can I carve out the time, I think, for my passion role, which is right now is really the DEC, I think, the role on the executive board and making an impact there, that I know it, and I've heard people say it, and I know, like I said, I've been there before. You think you have 4 years, but I mean, like I said, I'm almost a year into my 4 years, and it's just like, wow, what have we really accomplished? What have I done for the field that can like move the field forward? So I guess there's that part of me is like, A, how can I carve out more time to focus on that? But I think the bigger question is, what's the best direction to make an impact on the larger field through a strictly volunteer position? You know, that's a focused board position.
All right. This is very helpful. So I'll let it open up, but I want to remind the colleagues, it's totally fine that as much time as he wants to spend processing, don't feel like, well, I haven't asked him anything. I haven't given any advice. It's totally, I don't know if you noticed, but clarity came just in his storytelling. So, but let's go ahead and see if there are probing questions or inquiries from the group. If you're ready, Ted.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm fearing the sharks at this point.
All right.
Oh, there's silence.
And we have about 22 minutes.
Uh-oh, they're circling.
No.
So, Ted, on the board that you are on, is there like a specific, do you have like a specific checklist of goals that you are wanting to achieve during that 4-year span?
In my head, I think one of the things I think that we've struggled with is developing new leadership. So for me, I think that's a big one. I think the other one is the having the family voice be more a part of the organization. It is a professional organization, but you know, I think I've always struggled sometimes with, there are certain people that view the organization that's strictly being for like paid professionals. Whereas I look at our field, and I'm talking specifically early intervention, so birth to three, that when you look at who is the team in early intervention, the family's the key part of the team. So whether they're a paid professional or not, they're a huge part of our team that on our day-to-day basis, when we're out there in the world, the family is a key and important part. So I think our organization should somewhat reflect that as well, and have more of a sort of family focus, family voice as a part of what we do when we're working on policy, when we're working on developing practices. And I think, I'm not saying we're devoid of it by any sense, but I think we could do better. I think the leadership piece and young leadership and developing that young leadership is such an important part. And I have seen us recycle old leadership in a lot of key positions. And I think it's so tough sometimes to empower young leadership and develop young leadership while also honoring the pioneers in our field. I mean, and we have some huge, very influential pioneers in our field who are very active in this organization, yet they are pioneers in our field. it seems like sometimes we continue to recycle them for key positions. And I think at times maybe they should help mentor some of our younger folks and put them in the spotlight and take a step back. And that doesn't always happen. So I'm trying to figure out ways that the organization can put things in place that can help make sure that happens.
Ted, you mentioned the wanting more family voice within the structure. What does it currently look like?
Well, currently we have an executive board of directors that really has no family voice on it. We just are actually in the process of putting together what's called a family council, which is going to recruit families from around the nation to give input into all the aspects of what we do as an organization. So I think we are headed in the right direction. But, you know, I mean, I just had a board meeting a couple of weeks ago, and it's like, well, who's really speaking for the families on this? And there really isn't any family voice on that council. And from past experience, and I'll go way back to running a large, you know, professional development group in which at one point, half of the folks that worked for the program were families, and had kids who were either in the program or had gone through the program. And that was very intentional from my standpoint, is to have them and not just have them as the quote unquote parent,
right?
That they were like, you know, they were a trainer. You know, they weren't there designated as the parent trainer. They were a trainer. So it's like how to infuse it so that it's not just like we're going to have this family council over here that speaks to all the family issues so that the rest of us can go do the real work. So.
I kind of look at some of that as just also about transparency with families and how you can set up a system where they feel that they really, they are an equal player, so to speak. I think it's incredibly hard to involve them at every level. And so what is it that you can do differently to elevate them to an equal partner, I guess, is something to give some thinking to as a group.
I don't, this might be border. I don't know if this is advice, so you can stop me, but one of the things that we
Christy will stop you. I won't.
Christy can stop. Anybody can stop me. It's one thing that I'm passionate about is authentic mm-hmm. parent voice and leadership. Mm-hmm. And we have a parent leadership kind of model that we use to help us identify when parents are just the token parent or when they're actually moving toward leadership. And that's been really helpful to know, okay, are we just, you know, asking parents for input is one thing, but then really getting parents to a place where they feel empowered to take ownership is a whole different level.
Yeah, so Robin, this is a good example. So if any of you have experience on something that's an issue, put a little note that we'll give that to Ted outside the hot seat. But you could shape your question and from your own experience say something like, how would you envision, you both just sort of said that, Marcia and you, Robin, how would you make sure they weren't the token? Is that important to you? Or tell us more about how that would lead to an impact in your work as a DEC board member if you were to elevate the family's voice. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So let him speak from his
perspective,
in the future, yeah. And then if you have a great resource that can spark him outside, fabulous.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And also, just quickly, if any time you guys want to ask a different question, or if, Ted, if you feel like we get too focused on something and you're like, yes, but this is only one part of my life, can we go back to the big, it's okay to do that too, all right?
Okay.
I was going to also kind of talk about the broader issue of maybe going to, I always first go to beliefs and attitudes a lot of times on whether it's a board or a classroom team or what have you. But, you know, what does the DEC board believe and what's the relationship to what actually happens? Okay. And again, specifically, I kind of use that question when I think of inclusion. Because if you believe that you're including children, but is it actually happening? You know, so it's kind of, I mean, so on any level or idea, you can have a belief about, oh yeah, this is a good thing. But it's, get you know, it's like getting that ball rolling into action. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think going back to the struggle with like not offending the people that got us here as leaders and as the quote unquote pioneers who sort of helped build this organization, how do you go about or ask me questions, I guess, about really developing young leadership in an organization? And I mean, I've struggled with it as, you know, with in jobs and places I've worked for, and you know, and I'm struggling with it now on this board. So. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have some young leaders here.
Mm-hmm. So I'll model a quick question if it helps. I don't want to take up the space, but I know we're just kind of new at this too. So we could say this something like when Ted said that, we would say, you know, tell us what does a leader look like in an organization? What would be their role? What would their skill set be? What would their, to play on Marsha's, their beliefs that they would be pulling forward? So we could probe him further to unpack what is a young leader? Is it just age? Is it freshness? Tell us more about what is a young leader.
That's a really good question, Christy. And I think part of it is age. I mean, I'll be honest. I think a lot of our leaders right now are in the 60 plus category. So some of it really is age. But the newness and freshness, I think, is another piece, because DEC as an organization, that for those of you that don't know, it really represents all professionals who work with young children in early childhood settings, including early intervention. But historically, it's been a group that has focused more on teachers, higher ed practitioners, especially those that prepare. But where it hasn't focused is those other professions that serve our field, like speech-language pathologists, physical therapists, occupational therapists, social workers. And I think what's interesting is we actually currently have a physical therapist on the board of directors, and her perspective is one that is such a unique one, because she brings something different and a freshness and a different set of eyes than the rest of us do. And one of my concerns is she's going off the board. So one of my concerns is we're gonna lose that piece, and we're gonna be back to, no offense to any higher ed folks or teachers, a board full of higher ed and teachers that has a much more narrow focus of like our field and doesn't bring in all the perspectives that the people who really work in it. So I think that's an important piece. I think it's not just somebody who's young, but somebody who's in our field that brings a new and different perspective that can represent a larger group of folks. The PT, for instance, is very active in APTA as well. So not only does she represent her own individual profession, but she's very active in her own discipline-specific group that she can bring information back and forth and help us collaborate and expand as an organization. I think as far as what does leadership look like within the organization, it's not just being a board member. We have state and local level groups that are subdivisions, and I think it's leadership at that level. We have special interest groups that focus on specific areas like professional development or early intervention. And I think it's leadership at that level. I will say from an observation standpoint that it seems sometimes that we do get some different leadership at those levels, but it's not necessarily always supported at the bigger board level or even at the executive office level. And so it stalls out at maybe that special interest group level or at the state level.
Ted, I'm thinking of with the board's, I don't know, the structure and the thinking about the board's, kind of what Marsha was saying, the beliefs and attitudes, is the board aware that this, you know, potential PT kind of brings a fresh perspective? Do they recognize that that's a fresh perspective? And what's their openness to committing to bringing in more of that different thinking?
I think because I bring it up a lot, I think there is an openness to it. We are currently in the process of looking for candidates for the board, and it was an open discussion at that meeting of the committee that's putting together the slate of candidates. We only meet face-to-face like twice a year because it's an international organization. So we meet at our national conference and then at the Council for Exceptional Children's National Conference. And I think that's really the time that we get to spend as a board more strategic thinking kind of time. And when we were together back in the fall, it wasn't a focus, but it was a there was an underlying conversation there. And honestly, I think there is opportunity there. I think I just need to, in my own head, figure out what's the best way to help support that. And with the board, with the executive office, with membership, and figuring out ways to market leadership as something that people might want to do. I will say, I think it's something we struggle at supporting our leaders. I think you come into the positions, be it as the board, be it as a special interest group or a subdivision leader, and I don't necessarily think we have done a good job through our executive office in supporting the development of new leaders, even when they do get into the positions. And I think that's something we can do as a board, we can do better at. We can support our executive office to do better at. And like I said, I was on the board many years ago, and I will say before when I was on the board, there was none of that. You basically sat there and sort of learned by doing, and by the time you figured out your role, your term was up. So
I kind of wanted to circle back to what you're saying about kind of marketing for younger leaders. And when you think in terms of, you know, if you're targeting, you know, what's the motivation of somebody younger to participate in something like this is different than what the 60-year-old board member's motivation has probably been in the past. And I think that's where you start to look at, you know, this whole idea of millennials. I hear this from my daughters all the time. I'm a millennial, and you guys don't just understand me, you know? So if you think about marketing and communication of the board, it might be something that they really don't we don't understand their motivation there. I should say it's us and them, but, you know.
Yeah, come on to the question, Marcia. We have five.
Yeah, so what would be a younger person's motivation to communicate?
Good.
Or as a board member?
Well, I think you hit on an even almost bigger question. What's the younger person's motivation to be part of the organization, period? Mm-hmm. And I think in many ways our younger members, a lot of them are higher ed faculty. And I think it is their way to connect nationally. And I think as a board member, connecting nationally it becomes an even broader connection that you have. You have more influence. I think for me, and you know, that's why I always got involved, is to change policy at the national level that can be more supportive of the families that we serve. So for me, there's that huge policy piece that I think for a young person, if they see things in their work that they think could be better, both from a practice standpoint, from a policy standpoint, and though I don't have a research background, those that are in research, I mean, DEC has done a lot to promote research in our field. So I think when you look at all of those and how they affect our practice, I think I'm putting together a marketing flyer. Wow.
Do you have targeted areas specifically where you would like to see some more younger leadership, or is it just you would like it to sort of be embedded everywhere, like in general terms?
I'd like to see it embedded everywhere. I think from specific segments, I'd love to see it from practitioners more as well. I mean, I think our youth leadership does come from, you know, higher ed faculty, and I think there's just distinct advantages they have to come into conference, to having the time to, you know, commit to an outside professional organization. But I mean, ultimately, the work that we do is has a direct effect so many times in the policy we try and support and the research we try and get out to the field is practitioner focused. So to get leadership from there, I think would be fantastic. And going back again to the family piece and getting leadership from that segment as well. But I think to infuse it sort of across at our state level and our subdivisions, at our special interest groups, and as well at the board level. And I think if, you know, not to use an overused term of glass ceiling, I think there is a little bit of a ceiling at the board level as you, you know, you can like have some younger leadership, but oh, to be on board, you need to have something else. Somehow they let me in, but.
All right, so Ted, we're at our 2 minutes. Can you go to your final slide for me for a minute? We're just gonna wrap up and let you pause for a minute. So you started us off talking, not your final one, sorry. You had that one back, okay. Wanting some opportunity to think about how to focus where you can have greatest impact. And you narrowed that down to some different places in your current work and your current life, and it particularly landed at the DEC board, where you have a great deal of passion, but a finite amount of time to make the desired changes that you envision. And so you brought up to the group sort of two themes within the board, which is this leadership of newness, youngness, freshness, as well as family voice. So as you have a minute to kind of literally get your thoughts together, are there any closing comments, any action steps that have come to your mind so far? Is there just something that you're taking away?
Well, I really like the last thing we just said on is something sort of real I can bring to the board about sort of marketing leadership to our members, and you know, coming up with a way and actual some sort of action steps to, once people take on these leadership roles, is to coming up with a support plan, be it through our executive office, be it through our board, as we are, you know, how do we onboard people? I mean, onboarding is such the phrase we all use when bringing on new staff anymore, and how effective is it? And, you know, I don't necessarily think as in with DEC right now, we do a really good job at it. So I think we to come up with some more formal steps and some processes of how to do that, I think would be helpful.
Very good. All right.
And that's my son, and that's my wife behind me trying to catch up.
Trying to keep up with you. Oh,
so that might be the only place in our lives that I might be able to outdo her is kayaking. So.
Thank you. Thank you, masterminders. All right. So let's literally just take a quick breath. If you need to stand up, move around like 1-2 minutes, and then let's let our brains kind of flush, and then Robin will go to you. So if you guys want to stand up real quick, go up and down, and then we'll start. It goes fast. Woo.
That did go much faster than I thought, by the way.
I know, right?
Robin,
that was weird how fast it went. I mean, I was, I don't know how it felt to present, but as a participant, it was fast.
Yeah, I think you're like, oh, we'll just have all this time to sit here with crickets. Like, no, there's no crickets. We've got talking to do. So Ted, just FYI, I will type up my notes and put them on the dashboard, and I'll also ask you in the time between now and whenever we talk again, I'll continue to ask you questions, but others can as well.
Okay.
But my job will be to continue to kind of keep you in a little small hot seat on the side.
Great.
Now, also while Robin's getting herself together, no two hot seats look alike often. Own hot seat, partially because of the questions we ask you and partially how you frame it to us. But generally speaking, we'll do the same sort of thing. So Robin, you talk as long as you would like. If you want to ask at what time we are in the points, where we are on the timeline, that's cool. Otherwise, when I kind of hear you winding down or landing on something, I'll restate it and then I'll invite people. And then people did a great job really thinking before they commented. Just keep always thinking about what is my question to the person versus what is my story or context or elaboration. Get straight to your question to let them, and if they're not sure, they'll come back to you for clarification. All right, so Robin, go for it.
All right, so I do not have a PowerPoint. I tend to be a verbal processor, so although I love PowerPoints too, they keep me on track when I'm presenting. So I like to journal, so I have my journaling in front of me, so I'll be looking down quite a bit to kind of read through this. The thing that I would like to bring to the table is, as I mentioned before, last time, I'm new to my role as a coordinator for our early intervention, our birth to three services for Part C. I've come from a background in parent engagement and working with our four-year-old preschool programs, coaching teachers, which I love. So I feel like I'm in this new world of early intervention, infants and toddlers, that I am not an expert in by any means, and even developmental continuum. So it stirs up a lot of my own insecurity. And I'm asked to be in this leadership role where I'm helping to move. I'm fortunate to work with a really great, my supervisor who thinks really big, has a great vision for an early childhood department within our organization. So I work within an intermediate school district that services our families and kids and our local school districts birth through 26. So it's a pretty wide range. And early childhood historically has been not even on the radar. Sort of like I said, I'm in a converted a closet that is actually the fire alarm system. And that's fine. It really is. So it's this constant, like, okay, how do I keep this bigger vision while knowing that I'm not really, that not everyone else sees the value in what I'm doing or what we're doing collectively. And so now I'm currently supervising four part-time home visiting staff. They've been doing this work for a very long time. They're an autonomous team. They're fabulous human beings. They're pretty reflective. They love their work. They feel committed to their work. I couldn't ask for a better team of people to really be my first group that I'm supervising in my career. So that's great. And this thing I'm also struggling with is, so we have this team, they really identify themselves as, we're home visitors. Before I came on, I started in October at the beginning of our school year, they were asked, so what are your personal goals? Like what are your goals within this work? And I received their feedback, it was written out. And really, like, they want to be the best home visitors they can be. And I think the intention of the question was, how do you see yourself fitting into this bigger picture, this kind of pushing, asking them to stretch to be leaders, to take on some leadership for this bigger commitment of how do we move early childhood forward in our organization, in our region, in our state, and beyond. So I'm asked to help that group figure that out, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, so I have this new team. I feel like I've embraced the word leader in lots of ways. But now that I have this title, it makes me feel uncomfortable and awkward. And suddenly I don't even know what being a leader means anymore. And I feel like before I was like, yeah, if we can do this, let's think big. And now I'm almost afraid to ask to own that word. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other thing with this staff is they are not school district employees. We contract with another organization. They're employees of another organization because of costs and all of that. And then we have these other, our infant toddler staff, we call them, they're these two teams kind of, but then we're asking them to be one team, but they're treated completely differently and paid completely differently as well. And so that's a part of the issue. So what I'm hoping this group can help me with is help me just I'd love to have your perspective on what I've shared and assist me in kind of my reflection, because that's what I feel like I need to do, is kind of elevate my thinking. Like, I feel a little stuck in a hole, and I just need some friends to help me get out a little bit and to see the bigger picture. And I'm also open to ideas and suggestions that the group may have related to how do I develop this group, the staff? How do I bridge this gap between these two teams? And how do I support myself as this new with this actual title of leader, for whatever that means. I also, some of the things that I feel pressure, on one hand, I know that it's maybe okay to give myself a moment to get to know these people, and get to know this new world that I'm in. And I also feel a little pressure. My supervisor, as I mentioned, she's fabulous. She has great thinking. She's a fast thinker. And I think she wants to see some action happen quickly with moving this group forward and connecting these teams. And so I feel that pressure too. Like, I don't want to let her down. Although I also want to do what's right for the group. And I feel like it's okay to speak up and say, okay, this is, if I come to the table with a plan, she'll be okay with that. I also need to let go of questioning my abilities and whether I'm the right person for this role. And be okay with the insecurity, I guess, of not being an expert in birth to three. And there's a whole world of language, medical, and different, I don't know, labels that I'm just coming to terms with at this point. So I think that is where I'm at. So I'd like you guys, sometimes I spiral and I bounce around a little bit, so it's okay to bring me back. I'm also okay with some silence, and it's okay to be direct with me as well. And I really would like you guys to help me as we go through this process of time, just like call me out when I start kind of going back to questioning, like, am I the right person? Is it okay that I think these things or like want to do this? So it's okay to hold me accountable. I'll be quiet now.
So Robin, this is Ted, because, you know, I can't do silence. what were your expectations when you took on the role, and what are your expectations for the role now that you're more into the role?
I guess my expectations when I started, I thought that, I don't know, I had this idea of like what being a supervisor of people meant. I thought they would need me a little more, and they don't. And that's okay. But there's also like they kind of want me to leave them alone. And I don't know that that's right either, because they actually do need to be a part of this bigger picture. My expectation was that, I don't know, that it would just be a little easier to like, oh, of course we can bridge this gap between these two teams and two departments. I also thought there would be some more concrete things that I would be doing. And really, it's kind of open-ended. I mean, there are some things that just have to be done. That's fine. Like the budget, writing the grant, sticking, you know, with our like corrective action plans that come in and all of that. Like, that's fine. Those like crossing off the to-do list, but I expected I get to dream this up, and I'm a little spinning around a little bit.
So my question is what would it look like for those teams to work together? Or be connected, or what you're talking about. What does that look like?
Well, I think we have taken some concrete steps, like where we've stopped. I'm a believer in our language helps us determine how we, you know, perceive ourselves or treat ourselves. And so trying to identify one as a whole team, like the birth to three team, rather than these two separate, although people are not there yet. It's only been a few months. Having some joint staff, like meeting times together. And I lost my train of thought.
Do you feel like the whole team is all on the same page as far as what the vision is of bridging that gap?
No, I don't think so. I don't even think they're aware that there, well, some people are aware that there's a gap. Some people are not. The other thing of what it would look like, Marcia, is thinking we have a pod structures. So we use a primary service provider model, and the pod groups meet weekly, and we have four of those. And the staff that I supervise are supposed to attend those meetings, and they're not. So for me, like, that would be a clear mm-hmm. way, like that in my mind. Maybe it's not weekly, they, you know, part-time staff, I don't know if they can go weekly, but maybe having them think about that a little bit of what is, like, how, what would it take to get you there on a monthly basis or bi-weekly? Mm-hmm. And finding
so back to the what would it look like is meeting, but right. What are they meeting about, I guess?
Exactly. And,
yeah.
That they are, I mean, they do use the consultative model in their pod structure, which I think, I mean, they're really are focused on that. So attending that and bringing cases to that table to have conversations. There's also this divide that I'm just kind of becoming aware of, that sometimes kids qualify, the person who does the intake of kiddos that come in, they send them to our Part B, and then they evaluate them, and they don't qualify for special ed, so then they come back, and then there's just this weird, like, why do they come to us? They're not about, you know. And maybe that's just par for the course. I don't know. But how, I think they would be developing, they would feel just more connected. Mm-hmm. And so what is my role in helping them feel more connected mm-hmm. to their pod structure? That's my current question. And how do I do that?
Do your staff feel like they would benefit from what you're talking about, or do they realize that there is this need to bridge this gap?
The four staff that I supervise, yes. Some of the staff in our Part B services recognize that because they've said it. Others are okay, just kind of, all right, I'm going to do my job and call it good. So yes, I think the four staff that I'm thinking of, yes, they do see that need.
So Robin, you said there's two groups. Do you not supervise the other group?
I don't. I do not directly supervise, although, so the title for this position used to be early on coordinator, so that was just Part mm-hmm. C. And now the title is birth to three coordinator. And that even raised some questions, like, why is Robin the birth to three coordinator? What does this mean? Is she supervising us? And mm-hmm. so I'm not directly supervising any of the Part B staff, just Part C.
Are you and their supervisor on the same page as to, I guess, the concerns that you've shared with us?
Yes, yeah. And so that's, we've put in some structure, like pieces, where we now have a joint monthly meeting where we do some team celebrations and trying to build that idea to offer opportunities for connection and meaningful connection. So it's not just a meeting, but it's also relationship building and mm-hmm. offering opportunities for each of them to rely, all of them to kind of connect with each other.
So do you have in your head, or what is your timeline to, like, I guess, make some progress on this?
That's a good question. I go between, like, it should have happened before the new year, because, and I know that's not realistic. It's just, I think I have a lot of pressure on myself to prove that I'm making some progress. So my supervisor has said, like, okay, it will take you 2 years to feel really confident and competent, and that's okay. And so the timeline, no, I don't have a timeline. I'm going to, yeah. And maybe I need to set up a more realistic timeline.
And is there a way to chunk it out down, you know, so you have, you kind of have a start of a seed of a vision of what it should look like, but the steps to get there, maybe smaller steps.
And then there are some, yeah, ways to know that you're actually succeeding on the mm-hmm. path.
Well, and then kind of that triage, what are the important steps?
Well, let's ask it this way, guys. What is there?
Yeah.
Can you give me a little more, Christy?
No. It's the themes of what's already been going on. So when Ted asked you, what would your timeline be? And Marcia said, you know, what would be this, the benchmarks and the pit stops and how would you remove barriers? What is it that in your mind you saw yourself that should have been in place by New Year's, or what would you say if your supervisor's right and it's 2 years from now, but you have shark music because the clock's ticking and you really don't have 2 years? And are you close to figuring it out because 2 years is clicking? So what is there? Mm-hmm. You don't have to know
what
that.
What does success look like? Is that sort of the same?
Mm-hmm. It's a version of it, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is a connected team? What is a fulfillment of whatever's in her supervisor's mind, right? She's got to get clear on where there is.
Yeah, how do you know when you're finished?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the real question, Robin, is it your definition, your true right. inner self, or is an outer self's perception of there?
Right.
Right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Because I think, this is maybe advice, but when you get an idea of that there, what it is, then it's what is the sell? How do you motivate to get others on that prevailing wind?
Right.
Yeah, my question kind of is along the lines of what Marcia was saying too. Do you feel like you're struggling to get buy-in, so to speak, from... Because you said it sounds like that the four that you directly supervise are on board and kind of see the need for it. Do you feel like you're still trying to get buy-in from the other staff, like keeping you from making the progress that you're seeking?
So in thinking about, so the what is there, like right now, I think the immediate step is getting them to their pod, like their assigned pod structure, because that's really where and figure out what do they see as a value of that. There have been a few times where they've brought up a case, like they have their own sort of individual meeting, pod meeting, weekly they go to this, and they do like they assign caseload and all of that and do some reflective talking, conversing about kids, which is fine. Although there have been a few times that cases have come up and it's been suggested, so what if we tried out our pod? And they've thought, oh, that's a great idea, but they just don't naturally think of that as their structure. So that is one thing that I think, okay, that's one way that I'll know, like when they start using their pod as really the consultative structure. But then I think, okay, so what's my role in helping them see the value or understanding really what that is? And I think I might... I don't know, I have to ask them to shift some of their practices. Like there's always this, we don't have time to go. Like they see the value, they want to be connected, but then they don't want to change what they're currently doing. Mm-hmm. And I think a part of it is I'm a little afraid to ask them to change. Mm-hmm. I know that's so silly, but they're these really smart, lovely people. And I don't want to make them mad, which is also silly, right? Like that's so, I don't know. Um, And so figuring out that piece, I think, is kind of where I need to be.
What have you tried any, because, you know, I hear you saying, like, telling them what to do and that kind of thing, but what about bringing to the place where they kind of share that vision of that's what we need to do? So kind of
that, yeah, rather than tell them what to do.
But yeah, no, I know what you mean, but you know, that's that kind of shared leadership piece.
Yes, absolutely.
How do you, so you talked a lot about being a leader. How do you share leadership with them?
Right.
So Marcia, and the way you could shape that is to say to her, what would shared leadership
look like?
Or what would be the worst thing that would happen if they got mad at you? Do you see how that lets her go deeper there? Mm-hmm. It's uncomfortable. But if we ask it too guided, she's going to think there's an actual definition of shared leadership. And if she defines it differently than how it's in your mind, she's right. Already wrong. So she hears Sharpies.
Got it.
No, that's helpful. And I don't think I can answer right now what my vision of shared leadership is. But that question just helped me really ground, like, oh, yeah, like, what? Of course. Why wouldn't I just think about that a little more? And then the idea of, okay, so what is the worst thing that can happen if I upset them? Or, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, yeah. And I think my idea, the idea of like telling people what to do, like that isn't my style at all. I don't, that just isn't me. But then I have this, like this outside pressure, like a little like, so, just make them do it differently. Just do it. And Christy knows my supervisor, and I adore her. She's great. I think I really need to work to separate that. Mm-hmm. Being comfortable.
Why is it important for them to do it differently?
Mm. Right. And that's the other thing that... because I think at this point, and that's something that I feel like I need to study a little bit too and give myself some time to really understand their process. But from what I can see, there's a lot of that they're not connected to this larger, to the department. They're not always using best practice model. I mean, they're great with families, but then the using the consultative team, that's not happening. And that's something that our department is committed to using.
What does the time you spend working with your staff, what does that look like?
So with the four people that I'm supervising?
Yeah.
So right now I've been spending, so they just sort of, like I said, they meet on a weekly basis. They have their own pod, and there's a lot of time, which it is, in my opinion, I'm like, oh, this seems weird to spend an hour and a half or 2 hours a week talking, like doling out cases when, I don't know, that just, so that's in my own mind. So we do have a monthly time together where we have like an hour. And so I've been trying to map out their process because they do a lot of things. I mean, there's so many steps in what they do, but nobody can actually... if a new person came in, they would have no idea how to do it because they just naturally have done it for so long. Mm-hmm. And then I have a fabulous administrative assistant who's like been here for a long time. She knows what she's doing, but she doesn't, her processes aren't mapped out either. So I've been trying to, we've been spending time just mapping out their processes. Like, so what happens from the first phone call to this? And in that process, they've realized like, oh yeah, there's a whole lot of if-thens, and how do we know what we know? And so that's kind of where I started with them, just for my own sake, to understand the process. And there's been a lot of really good thinking from them as well about, oh, why do we do it that way? Is it important that we do it that way?
What are the big differences, or, and that's not quite my question, but between this consultative model and their current practices? What's the leap there?
Mm-hmm. I think right now, so they're not you, I mean, so they're working with a family and right now they're consulting with themselves and they all, I mean, they all have different backgrounds, but the leap to get to their pod where they're able to, okay, so understand it like from the OT perspective or the PT perspective, they're not getting all of that necessarily. They're only, and so is that really serving the needs of families and kids? Maybe a lot of time, maybe, yeah, I think families leave them feeling great. Kids make progress, but they're not using the rest, the other expertise that's available. And so what might be being missed for kids?
Yeah, exactly.
So is there room for change in the frequency of your meetings with your staff or the structure of how the meetings are set up?
What do you mean? With the core staff, the monthly meeting?
Yeah, like you talked about, they meet weekly on their own, and then you have a monthly meeting that's about an hour with them. Do you have flexibility in changing how that, like the frequency of how often you meet with them, or maybe the dynamics of what takes place in those meetings?
Some. I think that they really, really love their time together. I attend those meetings too. I mean, they're warm and welcoming. It's not, but they really love that time to like look at individual kids and assigning. Well, I don't know. I actually don't know. I think one person in particular really loves it. When I look at the table and the faces of the, I don't know that everybody loves it. So that's helpful to think about. Yes, I think there is some flexibility. Will they like it? No. Would they be, but maybe they would. I don't know. I haven't asked.
That was going to be my other question, was whether or not you've been able to have the opportunity to meet with each person on an individual basis instead of as a group.
I've tried. So that's the other weird part that I'm struggling with. I've asked to go on home visits with each of them and to have some time. And it's almost like they look at, I mean, finally, there was some, I don't know if it was resistance or just kind of like, well, what do you, it was like, why we do our work? Like, what, we're good at this. Why would you need to do this or be a part of it? Like, they didn't even understand, or I don't know. I can't even say that. That's the wrong way to say it. But there was just this disconnect between, like, we just do our work, so we don't really need you. Like, you can stay in your office or do whatever it is you do, and we'll just operate over here. There's, like, that going on.
I'm going to ask a very tough question. But what makes them the experts?
Right.
Why are they the experts?
Yeah, and I think that I gave them a lot of power from the beginning as the experts because I've not been a home visitor necessarily. And I value their expertise, but right. That's a good question.
Robin, how committed are you to the belief that the consultative process is the direction to go?
I'm growing more and more committed. So as I said, I'm learning about these processes and the primary service provider model. And I think, I don't know, when I look at it, I'm like, this makes a lot of sense. And I'm committed because it's when I talk to the other home visiting staff and the idea that, I mean, you're really there to support the families in supporting their own children. Like, I feel really like that is like, for me, like clearly that is like, I don't argue with that. That's my belief system. because just because an expert comes in once a week even, or every 6 weeks, like that, I don't care. Like I do care. I don't mean to say I don't care, but like it's the parents that are really doing the work. And do the parents feel empowered to interact and support their children's growth and development? So like for me, that's a core value and belief. And I know that that's best practice. So I guess I feel more committed than I realized I did. and I think, you know, from what I've seen, so I did eventually get to go on a couple of home visits with people and were, you know, it was fine. And what I've seen, like they have that belief too, but they also like to operate in this isolation and not broaden to a true, you know, consultative model. My brain is spinning a little bit, so I'm just trying to sort through the different layers. And I would like to be able to, so I have my monthly meeting with them on Wednesday. So we have an hour, an extra hour together. And it would be really helpful in that time to have some sort of piece that maybe helps them even elevate their thinking or broaden their scope of like why this might be important. To consider. So I need to stop thinking like I can just make this happen overnight or even in this time frame.
Have you, I'm trying to work in my head how to ask this. When you've talked with them about going on home visits with them, how have you approached that topic with them as far as does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think in several different ways. One is a whole group, like I really would love to attend a home visit with you to see how the flow and how it operates and help. Really, I took the learner stance of I'm here to learn. And then it was individually like, oh, Kim, I'd like to meet with you. Or let me know what your schedule is. Let me know when a good time would be to go on a home visit with you. And I feel like we've made some progress. So I have to also think like, yeah, some progress has been made. Like now a person who's kind of resistant to even sharing her calendar with me is now inviting me to come on an evaluation with her. So some progress has been made. So at a group level, at an individual level is how that request has been made.
Robin, we have 5 more minutes. Would you like to have people ask you more questions? Are you at a place where you need to just sort of tell us what you'd like to do?
If anybody has like a really big question, I'm open to hearing that because the questions do help me. Although I feel like I'm at a place where I feel like I can create a little action plan for myself.
Okay. Anything from the group that you feel like you want to, even if she doesn't answer it, just get on record of a question that you feel like might be something she needs to think about?
I was just thinking one kind of last thing, because I think I know groups just like your group. And just if they as a, can they as a group or individually, like name a learning theory that's past and above what it is that they're doing. You know, I mean, I guess I'm trying to get, it sounds like this working in silos. Mm-hmm. Is there something bigger than them that they can agree on or know, not even agree on, know about? How does it connect together to make a whole child, I guess, as I'm thinking whole child.
Mm-hmm.
Christy or Ted, anything you also want to just on the record for her to think about, again, a question, but not one that she has to feel compelled to answer right now unless she wants to. We have about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I think sort of following up on like what Marcia said, what kind of resources or supports would be helpful for either you and the team or just the team would be helpful to support the changes going forward? So it's really hard to do without giving advice, by the way.
I know, Robin, I'd love to talk to you like way more on the topic.
Everybody's like,
when Christy isn't looking, we can
trying to ask it in questions is, yeah.
Yeah. And at some other point, when Christy's not looking, I'm open to advice as well.
Miserate together.
No, and that is really powerful though, Christy. Thank you for bringing that up, and Robin for nurturing it. That is our social network, right? That's why we have the Facebook group and each other's emails, and totally, it's just when you're in the hot seat, the power of it is this non-advice giving stuff.
And I'm
you're not alone though.
It's been really, really powerful to just, this is what I was hoping, just that the group would be able to ask me some questions. While I really do, I'm interested because I'm sure all of you have had experience in different ways and things that have worked or haven't. What's really helpful is, like I said, I've been stuck in my own little hole and I just needed like some people to help me climb out and see the light a little bit. So,
Robin, you became faint a little bit. Did you change your mic at all?
No, I didn't.
Might just be me. All right, so let's you and I get a little closer, Miss Robin. So what I heard you start off with was talking kind of big and small at the same time, your own perspective about leadership. I think there's some uncharted territory about giving your power away that I'm going to encourage you to listen back to and think about over time. There's also small nitty-gritty about what is the roles and responsibilities and processes of a smaller team, within a larger organization. And so you're simultaneously trying to navigate your path and the path of others. And so you brought that together to the group today. And we kind of danced on both sides of it. I think we did explore you as a leader and what's up with your team and where might they go. So if you had to say something back just for your thinking at this moment, which can change, what's your actionable step or where are your thoughts landing right now?
I said that I had an action plan in my head and I just need a moment. I'll need some time to kind of iron it out. I think that my head is, like, I definitely came to that realization even when I was reflecting, like, I'm giving away a lot of my own power and it's okay to trust myself more than I do. And I don't, I can just let that go a little bit more than I have.
Okay.
And then in thinking about the meeting that's coming up, I feel like that's a really, I have this opportunity to just do a little, maybe I'm really, it's actually something I've always been very good at, like with parents and other people, is thinking open-ended. So like, I don't have to answer the question for people. I just have to ask the question. And so that's what I need to ask the question of the group. Whatever that question is, I need to think about framing that a little bit. So offering an opportunity for that group to be thoughtful and reflective and see where they're currently at.
All right. How are we? Tiring, right?
Yeah, it's hot in here.
So you don't have any air.
Right,
you should open that window.
It doesn't open, yeah.
I could open. Sometimes my door opens, so.
All right, let's see where we are, guys. Thank you just really very much, each of you, as we kind of start to do our little bit of a wind down. And again, if you need to stand up for just a minute or two, you can do that, just kind of stretch. I know it's hard to sit. So what we'll do is we will now let Robin and Ted catch their breaths, but still give a bit of their neurons to Christy and Marcia. I'll watch the time again. This is certainly by invitation. There's nothing that you had to have prepared. There's no right or wrong to do it. I'll give you a kind of a wave when you're down to a minute, but you each have 5 minutes just to sort of catch us up on where things have been going in your life. You can do, you can just talk about how this felt for you. If you just feel like, I just feel like I need to share what this experience just was. It could even be thinking about foreshadowing when you're going to be in the hot seat in session number 3. So there's no rules on this catch up. It's just because you haven't gotten to do anything but ask questions, it's allowing you to talk. So Christy, you'll go first. I'll give you kind of a 1 minute when you're to wind down, and then we'll shift over to Marcia.
Okay. I've definitely being able to watch Ted and Robin in the hot seat was incredibly helpful. I think that the questions that everybody asked, while I was listening and thinking of questions to ask, it was also having me think about what my answers would be or where I am at in that place. Which coming in, I thought, oh my gosh, I just haven't prepared very much and I'm next and holy cow. And after this, I'm sort of like, oh, okay, you know, take a breath. And I'm actually very excited now for for my time in the hot seat. And I feel like that checklist that I was working on last week has now been funneled even more to where I've been able to just even jot down different points, different aspects of kind of what Ted and Robin, you guys are going through and some of the things that have been on your mind and the similarities to my own things to discuss in the hot seat. And it really has, I don't know. I know it was to help you, but you guys really helped me too, if that makes sense at all. So, I just really feel like this was a great session.
Okay, good. All right, you're on, Marcia. You need a 1 minute warning, so go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with everything Christy said. I thought it was a really good discussion, and being disciplined to try to just keep thinking of questions rather than wanting to jump in and fix is really hard for me. But it made you really kind of made my brain reframe. It's like, oh, and then as I was reflecting while I was listening, it was like, you know, there's so many times when we do, I always called it the dump truck. When somebody voices a problem, then they get the dump truck of fix-it, which then you put up this fence, you know. So I agree. I think the process is a really powerful one to get you thinking of the fixes rather than saying, well, I can't do that, but, and I should, I know, there's no way that'll work. But, you know, I think we put people, whether we're leaders or just teammates or anything, into the hot seat. But the hot seat is just the, now we're going to all tell you what we think you should do. So I think that this is a great problem-solving process. So I think it was cool. I'm kind of getting excited. I'm focusing a little bit more on, I started with some of my big thoughts of what I want to do, and immediately learned that now I have to look at shorter term things when I'm on the hot seat.
Tell me more about that, Marcia. What made you kind of shift that way?
Well, I was shifting just even kind of some of the Facebook, you know, some of the Facebooking that went on this week or the last week is just kind of, things get too broad and it does go back to that chunking and scaling. Mm. And so it was easier for me to put it down and then to say, wow, wait a minute, you know, focus on this, these kinds of things will be better initially, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So all we have left to do, is there anything, we have a few minutes because both Christy and Marcia were quick. Ted or Robin, would you like to say anything about any advice, any observations?
Well, I think, I mean, as I said, it was really helpful to be a participant, one, to listen to Ted's, and then as he was speaking, I like Christy said, I heard a lot of my own at a different level, like, oh yeah, I can identify a lot with that, and that was helpful. And I'm okay, I don't know, I feel really good about where the place I came to with mine, and even though I started kind of broad and narrow, that's just how my brain works, like big and little all at the same time. I think I came to a more of a middle ground, and that's helpful.
And I didn't mean to put this light up, and I don't know why your asterisk is different, Ted. this could be your 1 minute, and we can go in this order, but I was also trying to give the two hot seaters just if they had something they wanted to share, but maybe we'll go ahead and do it this way. So Robin, is there anything that you want to state for the record that you want to be accountable for between now and the next time?
Yeah, I would like the group to check in with me on how this meeting on Wednesday, this one coming up, how it went with asking the question, whatever that question is. I'll formulate that, but just that, okay. That did in fact happen.
And do you have any preferences, Robin, how people interface with you to follow up? Do you care if they email or Facebook or whatever?
No, either, any and all is fine. I've deleted Facebook from my phone because I just needed to, but I do check in once or twice a day. So.
Okay. And I'll let the group kind of decide what is comfortable to them. I, you know, if we can do it in the Facebook, it's just central, but if it's more comfortable to do emails, just each of you do what you need to do. But it sounds like, and I'll put this in our notes too, that Robin would like you all to check in with her. You can even check in ahead of time, like what is your question going to be or what are your questions? And then certainly how next Wednesday went. All right, so Christy, what's your actionable step between now and next time?
My mind is racing in a few different directions right now, but I do feel like I have narrowed down where I want to take the conversation when I'm in the hot seat. And I think my actionable thing is that I want to try and figure out now how I want to present that. Whether I really like the idea of a PowerPoint, but I tend to be much more like Robin, where I could just talk it through and I could talk forever, given the opportunity. So I am challenging myself to kind of come up with maybe a unique way for me personally to bring that to the table next time.
Good. Ted?
I think I just need to carve out some time to focus on some of the action things that we talked about around developing some more of a structure around supporting young leaders. I need to put some focus on the how to do it. So.
And Ted, are you feeling now that it's been an hour or so, is that feeling like the direction you still want to go in terms of, because we got pretty focused, and you can change your mind later, but are you feeling like I'm ready to do that?
You know, I don't, to be honest, once it got off of me, I totally focused on Robin, so yeah. It hasn't been bouncing around in my head as much, so.
Fair enough. All right, Marcia?
My action steps are really to kind of, again, I kind of mentioned I'm looking at some shorter term objectives and kind of where I've been as my team has evolved some attention to some of the meetings that we provided for the field into focusing on some of the people we've left behind, if that makes sense. And that, you know, changing everybody's philosophy is a hard thing to do. And so that's kind of what I'm thinking, leaning into my hot seat where I want to talk about. But just looking at what are those things that that I can help other people kind of see the vision in a lot of the same way Robin was talking today, but on a different level or different kind of problem, but same issue. I don't know if that makes sense. Different people, same issue.
Right. Okay. All right. And so then the way that we'll end our time, again, you will see notes from me soon. I actually have our friends that are in the other cohort this afternoon, so I won't be able to type these up right away, but I'll ping you in an email letting you know that notes are on the dashboard. This is the superpower gratitude. We actually have the glossary translated into Korean, Arabic, and Chinese, and so this is the glossary definition of gratitude in Korean and Chinese, just because I was avoiding real work today, so I put those on here. But if you do have something that you'd like to say verbally to a person or the whole, you may do that. If you brought a gratitude gift with you today, you can take a minute and explain what it is or drop it into the chat and I'll pull it out and put it on our dashboard. So this is just an opportunity for each of you to chat or verbalize or share some form of gratitude, whatever that means to you.
Christy, I think I'm starting to see the path in how you chose the cohort and the similarities in the group and why you put us together. And I'm really excited about it. So, okay. Yeah. Thank you. There's my gratitude.
There you go. Thank you. That's definitely good. Thank you.
Yeah, I would also say thank you because I think sometimes it's the same. Same as Christy again, but just you feel like you're the only one that feels this way sometimes with other people's work with children.
I guess I would say mahalo because I'm in Hawaii, but the other thing I do want to share that I'll put in Facebook because I don't have the link, but somebody shared over the weekend this TED Talk snippet on the power of the introvert. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really cool snippet for those who may relate to themselves as introverts. And I personally, I think I'm more of an ambivert. I can go either way given the situation. But yeah, so I'll post that in Facebook. It was a good 15 minutes.
I think I mentioned last time that I've really been wallowing around in this growth mindset. And I had an opportunity to see Dr. Marley Adams present on the power of questions, which is silly because that's where I got to in my own thing. Like, I just need to ask a question. And I've been studying this. But she provided, I don't know if you can see this, is choice map of questions when you go to the judger mindset versus growth mindset, like opening up people's thinking. And I would love to share this with the group. You may have already seen it, but it's been really a helpful tool.
Yeah, and don't forget that some of you had things you wanted to share with each other. So as you have time to debrief from today, your own reflection, if there was something you want to share out, you can either give it to me to post on the dashboard, or if you send it in an email, I'll always grab and snag and collectively put everything on our dashboard. So it ends up in one place when we, you know, finish our work together in 3 months. I want to, my moment of gratitude, just for all of you being so open and for working so hard to ask good questions and for allowing me to jump in and kind of shape them a little bit. I certainly don't have this mastered, but I appreciate your willingness to allow me to shape your questions and to persist. It's very hard work indeed. And yeah, I just am grateful for each of you. So you'll be hearing from me individually and collectively. And then likewise, you can reach out to each other. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you guys too.
I have to stop all of this and stop the recording, so don't mind me. Y'all just jump off as you need to.